John chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. Amen. And just a couple of very quick announcements. We will not be having service in the middle of the week due to the fact that that is Christmas Day. We have some leftover lemonade from the last dinner that we had here at the church. There are 3 gallons of lemonade. And maybe Brother Deontay would like one or two of those for himself. All right, those are free. And so first come, first serve. They're in the kitchen. And if you don't take them tonight, then we're going to get rid of them. All right. And then next Sunday evening service, we were going to have just one service, but we decided that we've missed enough church with holidays and all of that. So we're having Sunday morning and Sunday night next weekend. And then on the following Tuesday, which I believe is the 31st of December, we're going to come on Tuesday night and have communion. We're going to have a communion service. And I'm looking forward to that and bring in the New Year's, seeking God and praying and asking for the will of God to be done. Well, praise the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. And before I read this, I would just have one other thing. Sister Glenda, do we have folks that still need, or can we get rid of our boxes, I guess what I'm trying to say. But we have 3 boxes. If anyone knows of anyone that needs a food box and a turkey and everything for a Christmas dinner, we have one of those available. So see Sister Glenda if you know someone that is remotely needs help during this holiday. We want to help them with food. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. Everybody said, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Everybody said, the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Everybody said, the will of man. Will of man, but of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together and ask for God's help right now. We thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the touch of your spirit here tonight. We ask you to anoint your word and to speak to every heart. Illuminate our minds and our spirit tonight. Let revelation come to us from the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you tonight, and if you will help me, you may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. When we talk about true Christianity, we're talking about being empowered by God to do what is right and to be like Him. That's a tall, tall order right there, to be like the Lord and to do the will of God. The Old Testament prophet spoke of this transformation, and that transformation comes only from God. The first step in the Old Testament, Exodus 31 and verse 18, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And so from the very beginning of the Old Testament church, the Lord established the law. The law was order for these people who had only known slavery for 400 years. They were used to being told what to do and doing what they were told, and very hard taskmasters that were there. But the Lord gave them some order in their lives, and he gave it through the law. Praise God. The law was a good thing but it was written on tables of stone. And the Mount Sinai experience, where there was trembling and there was fear, and there was a fire on top of that mountain, was a foreshadowing of another event that would take place. Praise God. It is known today as the day of Pentecost. Amen. And we are Pentecostal tonight. Thank God for that. Because in Acts chapter 2, and you don't have to turn there, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost came, there were tongues of fire that lit upon each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. No longer could they speak the language of humanity, but they spake the language of heaven. Praise God. They did not know what they were saying, but they were giving praise and thanks to God in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. You can give God praise and thanks in the flesh, but I'm telling you what, it's a wonderful thing to do it in the Holy Ghost. To get caught up in a time of prayer and seeking after God, and you begin to speak in a heavenly tongue, and the fire of God goes down inside of you and begins to write some things upon the tables of your heart. Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 through 33. And a very familiar scripture to any Bible student. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant, or the new covenant, what we would call today the New Testament, the new covenant, the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their inward parts and will write it in their hearts, and will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. Praise God. Aren't you glad tonight that it isn't written on tables of stone? We have so many today that want the Ten Commandments on tables of stone, and that's all right for the sinner to know what the laws of God are. But I'm glad tonight we don't have them hanging on the walls of the church. Amen. I'm glad that we've got them hanging off of the walls of our heart. Thou shalt not kill. I need to have that in my heart. Amen. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not, and all the negative and the positive commandments in the Scripture. Praise God. I'm thankful today for a way of order in my life. Because there was a day in my life when I did not have order. But I'm glad tonight that I've got some order in my life. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And that new covenant, the power to live for God, the power to be born of God, as we read there in John chapter 1, is spoken of in many places in the Scripture. Acts 1 and verse 8. Turn to Acts 1 and 8 with me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. You shall receive power. We receive power to be like the Lord and to do what is right. Amen. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it just by reading a set of laws. Amen. There's got to be something deeper down on the inside. Praise God. That thing that's down on the inside is the finger of God that burns the commandments and the rules and the laws of God upon the tables of our heart. Well, praise God. We're living in a generation today that says it doesn't matter how you live your life. Amen. We're living in a generation today, and it's always been here, where they have perverted the gospel and brought it down to a simple little statement that somebody would make. But I'm telling you tonight, if you want to live for God, you've got to repent of your sins. And that means turning away from your wickedness. Amen. And yes, the Lord loves us and the Lord understands our heart. But most of us, well, I would say all of us, don't know our heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and no man knows his heart. God knows my heart, and he can see any wickedness that would be in my heart. And the same with you. Praise God. Well, I feel like preaching a little bit here tonight. I'm telling you, friend, when we get the Holy Ghost, when we're Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and we have repented of our sins and baptized in the name of Jesus, there's got to be a change that takes place in our life. Well, praise God, there's got to be a change that takes place. And when that change takes place, you're going to know it, and everybody else around you is going to know it. Praise God. You're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. You're going to go to different places. You're going to love the house of God. You're going to love prayer. Well, come on, somebody, help me here tonight. Amen. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. How many's got that power of the Holy Ghost tonight? I'm telling you what, friend, it's for you, for your children, for them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. God has power for his people. Not that we can go around and parade the power, but the power that is of God is for the glory of God. Amen. We can't go around touting our spiritualness, if that's a word, or our spirituality. Amen. It's always got to point back to Jesus Christ. Amen. If I don't get my way, that's all right, as long as God gets his way. Well, praise the Lord. Doesn't matter where I'm coming from, it matters where he's coming from. Amen. It doesn't matter what I think, it matters what he thinks. Praise God. Doesn't matter what I can do, it's all what he can do through me. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost, you've got the power of God. Amen. To be a witness and to live right and to tell the truth. Amen. And not to steal and hurt anybody. Well, praise God. There's got to be a change that takes place in our life when we give our lives to God. Praise the Lord. Acts 1 and verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Amen. Many, 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 even in that day, were wanting to know what prophecy was all about. And I've read the book of Revelations many times, and there's an awful lot in there. But I'm telling you what we need to be focusing in on is not necessarily, just a single focus upon prophecy and where we're at in prophecy today. I've been around long enough. I received the Holy Ghost in 1974, and I've heard many, many preachers come through that said the Lord is coming in certain month and certain year. Amen. I've read the little pamphlets that have been mailed out, 88 reasons why the Lord is coming in 1988. And then when he didn't come, he said, I made a mistake. He's going to come in 89. And it never did come to pass. But I'm telling you what, Jesus is coming. Praise God. And no man knows the day or the hour. No, not even the Son. Amen. But the Father, God Almighty, is the only one that knows the day that he is coming. What is more important is what Jesus responded to them. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know what's more important than anything? It's walking in the Holy Ghost. It's having the Holy Ghost. Amen. Walking in that brand new life and being born of God. Amen. And learning and seeking and doing the will of God. He said, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise God. Tonight, we are in the uttermost part of the earth when it comes to Jerusalem. I've been to Jerusalem, and you are on the other side of the world, I'm telling you. And it doesn't take very long for you to realize that you're in a different place. Those folks that come here, they are in the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm glad that this salvation includes Augusta, Kansas. Praise God. I'm glad it includes my home. I'm glad it includes my life. I'm glad it includes everybody. Amen. And you can have the Holy Ghost tonight. This power to overcome sin in the flesh can only come from above. And I read to you tonight the opening text scripture in John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. And so he made a point here of receiving. And that comes from a Greek word that means to receive near or to associate with oneself. Amen. To assume an office. And of course, we know that office is a son of God. Amen. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. Amen. It then becomes more than just coming to church and hearing messages. Amen. But it comes down to drawing near to God and allowing God to have his way in your life. Well, praise the Lord. If it means loving someone that's unlovable, go ahead and love them anyway. Amen. If it means helping someone, amen, along the way, even though you may not want to do that, amen, we help them along the way. Praise God. It's more than just coming to the house of God. Come on, somebody. Help me here tonight. It's more than just coming to church. Amen. It's reaching out to the lost. Praise God. I lost some of you there tonight. But I'm telling you what, God has a revival for his church. God has a revival for this church. Well, praise the Lord. There are times and seasons. Yes, there are. But I'm telling you what, it's always time to draw near to God. It's always time to pray and get the word out and read the word of God. It's always time to live for God and do the right thing. Praise God. James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Amen. Well, praise God. The thing that hinders us the most is sin. Amen. And that double mind. I think I'm going to live for God, but then I don't know if I'm going to live for God. You're on and you're off. Amen. You're in and you're out. I'm telling you tonight, that is not the will of God. And you will never do the will of God nor have the power of God if you don't have it burned into your heart by the finger of God. I love to come to the house of God. I've always loved to come to the house of God. I remember when I first found the Lord, I couldn't wait for church to start. Amen. And we had Sunday morning, Sunday night. And we had Sunday morning where there was about 45 minutes of teaching from the Word of God. And then we had service where we had 45 minutes of preaching. And then we had Sunday night service. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that God birthed me into a revival church, because that's all I know is how to have revival. Amen. I'm not happy without it. And I've come to understand that a powerful church is a church that draws near to God, that knows how to pray, that knows how to encourage one another. Praise God. Amen. And the reason that we see this here, draw near to God and He will draw near to you, the reason that the Scriptures bear this out is because there is only one source through which we have true victory in our lives. Only one source. And it is the Lord Himself. It is the Holy Ghost in us. Amen. So that we can say, as Paul said, I can do all things. I'm telling you what, that's power right there. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I am more than a conqueror. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror through Him. There's only one place to go. There's only one place of victory. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. There's only one place of victory, and that is in Jesus Christ. And John wrote about it. He said that they were born of God. Amen. But which were born not of blood. And so he turns it to a little bit of a negative thing there, but it is really a positive thing. And that word blood there in the original means kindred. In other words, it means cousins and uncles and aunts and moms and dads and your bloodline as far as the flesh is concerned, meaning that the people who are going to make it are just those that are born into the wealthy families of society. Amen. That's what our world looks at. Who's your daddy? Who's your grandpa? All of those kind of things. And if you've got the right person in your life, then you can get things that other people can't get. We're seeing it on parade in our country today, and it's sickening. Amen. Amen. Because here tonight, there's none of us that have had our faces on the front page of the newspaper, if you even still get a newspaper. Amen. There's nobody here that's gotten their name in the newspaper unless you got arrested for something. Well, somebody smiled just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're just common folk here tonight, but we've got something here that's uncommon. Amen. And it's not our bloodline. We can't brag about how we were born into a certain family. Amen. There is a family that we are a part of tonight, and it's called the family of God. I'm thankful tonight for the church, for my brothers and my sisters in the Lord. Amen. And here's what God will do just to prove that. Genesis 12 and verse 1. I'm not going to preach a long time tonight, but I want to leave this thought with us here. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, and that would be Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And Abraham was a very wealthy man. He had kindreds. He had bloodline, if you please. He had gold and silver and maids and servants, cattle and all kinds of things. He was a very wealthy man. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord said, leave your family behind. Amen. And, you say, well, why would the Lord say that? And I've seen it many, many times where people come to God, and it's amazing. Uncle Joe, that they haven't talked to in years and years, who's read a little bit of the Bible, He'll sit down and say, what are you doing this for? Why are you going to that Pentecostal church? Amen. Let me show you a different way. Let's calm this thing down a little bit. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we cannot be born of blood. We were not born of blood. You're not here tonight because you knew somebody, but you're here tonight because you came in the doors of the church a little bit nervous and not knowing how it's all going to work out. But you're here tonight because you were born by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give the Lord thanks right now. You talk about royalty and you talk about bloodline. That's where we're at tonight. We are destined to be kings and priests with him, to rule and reign for 1,000 years, the Bible says. Amen. We've got a great future. Praise God. But we're not born of blood, neither of the will of the flesh. Neither of the will of the flesh. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, or excuse me, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh. Now let's see. I'm hoping I've got the right scripture here tonight. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. And so we were not born by the will of the flesh. I didn't come to God because my flesh said, cast everything aside and live for God. I'll tell you what is going to be your greatest enemy in walking with the Lord, and that is your flesh. It's not the devil. It's not people that are involved in witchcraft that are casting spells upon you. That is foolishness, and it'll never work against a child of God. Never, never work. Amen. But when we talk about the will of the flesh, we could talk about the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, and you don't have to turn there tonight. But the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I have told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to be born of your flesh. Amen. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. We've got to be born not of this flesh, but we must be born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Born of God. Amen. He said that there in John chapter 1, the scripture that we read. Neither are we born by the will of man. Amen. Very powerful scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Can you get the picture here tonight? It's all in the Holy Ghost. It's all in the power of God. And when you talk about the Holy Ghost, you're talking about God Almighty, because there's only one God tonight. Praise the Lord. Somebody help me. There's only one God tonight, and he is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Amen. Israel only knew of one God, and that one God is holy, and that one God is a spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And that Holy Spirit came down and conceived in Mary. That's what we're celebrating right now in the Christmas season. The Holy Ghost came and overshadowed Mary, and that child that was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And who is the Father? The Father is the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. We ought to be able to shout about that. Amen. The Father of Jesus Christ was the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there's not three gods wrapped up in one person. Amen. There are titles of God that point to one God. There's only one God tonight. And that's who we must be born of. Not born of the will of man. Amen. But born of God. Thank God. We don't have what we have tonight because a committee got together and decided that we could have what we have. You're not here tonight because we took a vote on you to see if we would accept you into the church. Believe it or not, there are places where they do that. Amen. And I thought to myself, what if a bunch of cantankerous people in that church and they voted no? I guess I couldn't go to heaven. Amen. But I'm glad that somebody didn't vote me in here tonight. And it wasn't done by the will of man. Praise God. When you talk about the will of man, you're talking about the Pharisees and the scribes and all of those people. And their will was against Jesus Christ. Those are some things that John said we're not born of. And then he finishes and he says, but we are born of God. Everybody said of God. Of God. Amen. That's what needs to go on in our personal lives. It's of God. When you get up in the morning and go to work, it's of God. Well, praise the Lord. When it's time for the house of God, it's of God. Amen. When you take your next breath, it's of God. Whatever we have is of God. It's been given to us. We have nothing tonight that we have done on our own, but it's all been given to us. You say, well, I work hard. Well, I'll tell you, I work hard as well. But I'm telling you tonight, it was God that gave me the strength to work hard. It was God that gave me the mental capacity to do what I need to do to take care of my family. Amen. To take care of the church. It is all coming down from above. Praise the Lord. And then, since we are born of God, 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise God. We have faith tonight. Faith pleases God. What faith is saying, I believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, praise God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please God without faith. But thank God, when you have faith in God and you believe God, amen, anything is possible. Praise God. When you hook up with Him, oh my, I'm telling you what, there's victory and there's power. And the only way to be born of God is by the Word of God. We talked about that this morning in service. Amen. It is the Word of God that we must be born of, not the will of man, not the will of the flesh, not of blood, amen, but of God. He that 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are overcomers. And in fact, the scripture says that we are more than conquerors. Somebody said more than conquerors. Amen. More than conquerors, because conquerors conquer other people. That's what conquerors do. But we are more than conquerors in that we have conquered ourselves. We have let the Lord conquer attitudes and spirits and things on the inside that are not of God. Amen. Maybe you're wrestling with some things in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, the only way that you can get victory over that is by the Holy Ghost. Times of prayer and seeking after God. You don't hear that in our generation today. It's all smoke on the altar and lights everywhere to excite the flesh and get people excited about a program or a presentation. Amen. But the only thing we have really to present is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Amen. If you don't live for God because of the cross, you'll never live for God. And so here's how we're born again. John chapter 3. Brother Reed, I need you to help me tonight. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Verse 6. Well, somebody ought to shout hallelujah. You don't hear that in a lot of places today, but it is still the Word of God. The only way to be born again is by the water and the Spirit. It's the only way. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the gospel. And if you'll give me just a few minutes before I finish, I want to share the gospel with you today. Praise God. Because it is the gospel that we are saved by. It is the gospel that we are obedient to, according to the Scripture, and so we need to understand what the gospel really is. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ask anyone, just about anyone that attends church in our generation, and ask them, what is the gospel and where is it found in the Word of God? And if you ask them what is the gospel, they'll tell you it's the good news. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I've had some accomplishments here recently. I'm just about to get my garage done, and that's good news. Amen. That's good news. Amen. I can't believe I'm at this point, but praise God, that's good news. But my garage is not the gospel. Amen. You may have gotten a new car recently, and that's good news, maybe. Amen. But it's not the gospel. Praise God. The gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Now listen to me tonight. Just listen carefully in the next few minutes here. We must obey the gospel and participate in the gospel with him. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 tonight. Romans chapter 6. And I want to share it with you here before we finish tonight. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Here is a biblical definition of repentance. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Everybody said with him. With him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. And so repentance is you and I being crucified with him. Jesus died. He was buried and he rose again. He died. We must die. And that death that he's talking about here is real, genuine repentance. Amen. Repentance, I believe, can only come when we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see. When we look into our heart and we don't like what we see. Praise God. And we come to God and say, God, I'm coming clean with you. This is my sin, and I want to turn from my sin and give my life to you. Praise God. But this easy believism that we have in our generation today, I'm telling you what, it is not repentance, and it does not bring salvation because we must be crucified with him. You'll not find one great revival any time in history that was not started out by a great time of repentance. It is the beginning of victory. Jesus died. He was buried. Verse 3, Romans 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him. Everybody said with him. This is what the gospel is. We must die with him. We must be buried with him. And he said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Amen. So we die in repentance. We are buried with him in baptism. And I want to talk about that here in just a moment. But then we experience the resurrection. We rise with him to walk in a newness of life. That is the birth of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said you can't enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Somebody said that's the water at natural birth. That's not at all what it means. It is not. That's incorrect, and I would take anybody to task over that. Amen. The word water there John chapter 3 and verse 5 is the word hudatus, and it means water. Amen. It does not have any implication of embryonic fluid. Amen. But it is water, H2O. It's talking about baptism. And you say, well, baptism isn't that important. I'm telling you what, you need to get deeper into the Word of God tonight. Well, I wish somebody would help me just a little bit. I know most of you know this already. Amen. But when we go down in the water in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away in baptism, and we now are a clean vessel, and we can receive God's Spirit and have a resurrection experience. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God. Too often we have folks that just come and stare, just come and sit, and don't have a real experience with God. I'll tell you how to do it. Get into a deep place of repentance. Amen. The altar of incense, the fire for the altar of incense came from the altar of sacrifice. We're not going to have true worship until we have true repentance. We're not going to have true church until the sins are remitted. Amen. We cannot have real religion until we have the real Holy Ghost on the inside. Well, praise God. It's not going to come by a prop on the platform. It's not going to come by smoke on the altar. It's not going to come by some fantastic light show or whatever you want to call it tonight. It's going to come when you get serious with God. You know why we're where we are today? Is because people in our past, the elders, found places of repentance. And they died out to God and they gave their lives to the will of God. How can you and I do any less? Amen. Well, praise God. We've got to commit and submit ourselves to the will of God. And it's all summed up in this. Abigail, would you come tonight? Amen. And let's sing a peppy little song here. All right? Maybe that throws you off. If it does, I appreciate Abigail tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost has been poured out. The church was born on this day. And the way they were born is the way that we're going to be born. And he preached to them. Amen. If you think this is hard preaching here tonight, just listen to what Peter preached. Therefore, let all the house of Israel. Now, I'm just going to include all the Jews here, he said. Every single one of you. That God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He pointed a finger right in their face and said, you are murderers. Not only are you murderers, but you killed the Messiah. The one that was sent from God. the one that you've been asking God to send, you murdered him. And when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. You know what they were pricked by? They were pricked by the word of God. And the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword. And it pierces all the way down to the joints and the marrow and the bones. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If you don't have preaching that stirs you every now and then, you really don't have preaching. If you're not stirred sometimes when you read the Bible, amen, and the Word of God smacks you right where you need to be smacked, amen, then there's something wrong with your experience. They were pricked in their heart. And here's the response. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There are some things that we need to do. And he said it right there in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody said, repent. And, everybody said, and. You're adding on top of repentance. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. In the name of Jesus. You know, I've heard a very popular preacher who's on television and radio, and he made the statement. I cannot understand where he would come from, but he made the statement and said, baptism is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything. But I'm telling you, when you talk about the water in the scriptures, unless we are born of the water, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because there's only one way to get your sins washed away, and that's through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not going to be good enough. Come on, somebody. It's not good enough. Amen. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Those are titles of God. Jesus said, go and baptize in the name of the Father. What is the name of the Father? Can anybody? I know what the name of the Father is. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And so the son that was born was the Everlasting Father, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. And I could go on and on here tonight. But my friend, if you're serious about living for God, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And it's for the remission of sins. I remember when I was baptized in Jesus' name, and I was just a 19-year-old sinner, and didn't know anything about God, never read the Bible, didn't know anything about anything. And somebody said, would you like to get baptized? And I knew I needed God, and I said yes. And they baptized me, but I didn't know how they baptized me. But when I came up out of the water, praise God, I'm not trying to be offensive here tonight at all. I'm reaching here tonight. But when I came out of the water, God delivered me from alcohol. God delivered me from years of cigarette smoking. And I lost the appetite. I lost the desire. And that's been since 1974, and I've never picked one up since. I'm telling you what, there is power in repentance. There is power in baptism. It's a spiritual experience. Praise God for the remission of sin. And, everybody said and. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. can't have a resurrection until there's a death and a burial. You can't have it. It's an impossibility. Amen. There's got to be somewhere a death and a burial, because we cannot live for God in the flesh. We cannot live for God in the old man, but there must be a brand new man. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Can we stand together tonight? Praise the Lord. You say, well, that was for them in that day, but it's not for us. Tongues have ceased, as some say. But if you read verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. It's for you, your children, to all that are afar off, all the way down. I think today's the 22nd, all the way down to December 22nd, 2019. 2,000 years ago, somebody said, it's for Greg Wirths. Somebody 2,000 years ago said, it's for everyone that's here tonight, your neighbors, your friends. You must be born again. You must be born of the Word of God and born by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen.